أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. في هذا المسجد
إن شاء الله this session will continue with تفسير سورة الفاتحة. And last time we were explaining the meaning of Alhamdulillah. And before coming to Rabb al-Alameen, we will explain a little bit more on Alhamdulillah. And inshallah we will continue Rabb al-Alameen to the end of the surah. I will ask another time Sheikh Sahib Mahmoud to recite Surah al-Fatiha.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. صدق الله العظيم.
صدق الله العظيم. وبلغنا النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين الشاهدين بالقلب السليم. We said last time that we reached that we have four enemies. Through Alhamd, Alhamdulillah, Sanaku Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to save Allah, to save us from our four enemies, which is al-nafs, al-dunya, al-qalb, al-shaytan, or al-nafs, al-dunya, al-hawa, al-shaytan. And as we explain on that, and we elaborate more tonight, the most difficult that a human being faces is these four enemies. Nafs, dunya, al-hawa, al-shaytan. And the most difficult of these four enemies are two: an-nafs wa shaytan. Al-hawa wa dunya can be controlled if an-nafs wa shaytan are controlled. So if we cannot control ourselves, our means an-nafs, evil, bad evil, and shaytan, then if they control us, then we are in difficulty. Because then they will take us to danger through bad desires and through the dunya. So first thing to do is to put a bridle on them in order to control their effects on you. And to put that is through progressive worshipness and through praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying Alhamdulillah, 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 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us His hamd wa thana, because no one has Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. As we said last time, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used taqleed in munajat, fil munajat, in his when he was asking his Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah asked him, Sifni, describe, say, he said, لا أحصي ثناء عليك. I cannot praise you as it should be. أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. I am praising you the way, imitating what you, the way that you love for yourself. So Prophet here used taqleed that Islam and the first school of thought, they say it is very important to use taqleed in Islamic jurisprudence. And today, they say no taqleed. When we look in the tradition of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see taqleed. So if Prophet uses the taqleed, why do we have to skip the taqleed and deny it nowadays with the new ideology and say no taqleed in Islam? Where Prophet uses taqleed. So what we have to do is to use what the prophets used to learn
Al-Adhiya al-Masura from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
and use it in order that we can achieve control on our ego. And you have to use taqwa. The bridle that you use is the bridle of taqwa that you can use in order to control your ego. If you don't use taqwa, and taqwa can be fear of Allah or love of Allah, both of them are taqwa. And Allah said, وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهِ. Use taqwa and be mutaqeen, pious, and Allah will teach you. Then Allah will guide you how you can control yourself when you use taqwa. وَتَقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. When you begin to use taqwa against your ego is going to fight you. It's going to go against everything you can imagine. Ego sometimes might kill you with putting in your mind things that is not correct in order to make you go beyond limits and begin to hallucinate, imaginations, craziness. You cannot see anything. They control your mind. You are controlling your mind through craziness, through your psychological complexity when you are coming against your ego and yourself. It will take you to that level. And that's why it is said that من لا شيخ له فشيخه الشيطان. Who has no sheikh means who has no amir, who has no leader to guide him, shaitan will guide him. And when shaitan guides him, is love. Take him into craziness. And so when you begin to fight your ego comes against you through four different issues. First, your ego begin to fight you and tell you,
you have to have wealth, means you have to make more, you have to work more, forget about praying, forget about da'wah, forget about your Islam, think about your dunya. So how to get your dunya? You have to work.
How do you have to work? Not only what Allah gave you opportunity of 8 hours, but you have to do more. So begin to go through what we call it, rizq, your rizq. It makes you not happy with what you have. If Allah gave you this much, 10, you want 100. If Allah gives you 100, you want 1 million. If Allah gives you 1 million, you want 10 million. Bahlul, the brother of Harun Rashid, is buried in Damascus. All his life was eating bread and goat's milk. His brother told him, come and eat with me in my palace. It's better than what is this? You are like children. He said, no. If Allah asks me in Akhira what you ate, I say I ate. When he wants to judge me, I don't have hundreds of different food I am going to get from where I got them, how I got the money for them, what I have done, what I have tortured people to do them. I will say I ate goat and bread. Two things that he can question me. But you are going to be questioned all your life at that time. You never finish. Nowadays, if we don't have on the table 10 different kind of dishes, you cannot eat. And some people, they have 10 different kinds of dishes in front of them, and there is one dish there at the corner of the table, their eye goes to that dish and they won't say, give me this.
There is nothing there.
There, chili. Say, give me chili. I am actually
correct. They do that.
That ego play with you, saying to you, "Ah, your risk is very limited. So try to make more. Try to get more. So it will begin to disturb you through your risk."
Then it goes against you. Your ego first. It goes through the risk, telling you it's less. Then any danger that it feels, that threaten its position, its authority, it begins to gather you in order that don't let that authority to lose from your hand. You have the authority.
You have the authority on what?
Even if you are, you have nothing, you have authority on one person or two person, you want to control them,
to make yourself better. If there was in our time one person, you know, in all in Middle East countries, I don't know far East countries, but in Middle East countries, they had what they call sabil. It's water on the streets. They pull pipes and they run water for people when they are thirsty, they can drink. Some places, they don't have tap like that and pipes. So what they do, sometimes you pass by stores that they are in the desert or jungle, they have pitchers of water, and people pass, they can drink. One person like that now, our example, he saw his neighbor, everyone comes to him, listen to him as if he is leader and have authority. So now he wants to make himself like that one because his ego is playing with him. So he wants to make authority. So what to do? He has only that water that he is giving to people free. So he thought, now I am going to make a leader, to be a leader. How to make a leader? All these people are coming and I am giving them free water. So now, his ego is playing with him, like some people nowadays, their ego plays with them, if they are assigned on a masjid, or assigned on a chair, or assigned on a position, they want to take advantage of the others. So that person was thinking, he said, oh, I had a good idea. So what he did, he brought seven pictures, and he colored them. One white, one yellow, one green, one red, one black, one whatever.
So one person come, take one picture, I want to drink. He said, no, don't take the white one, take the black one. The other one comes, wants the black, the red one. He said, don't take the red one, take the yellow one. So he began to make leadership on those people by telling them what kind of water or picture they have to use. That is ego. That's what our sickness today. Everyone wants to make himself or herself that she is important. Allah doesn't know that is a wali or not a wali. No one important in Allah's service. Everyone equal. The best among you are the most pious. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best among you are the pious among you. It's not by who are you. It's the best that Allah gave through their hearts. Some people that are here tonight, or they are not here, or you might be on the internet. What they did for Islam, for the best, what they could do by giving everything through their hearts, through their lives, through their wealth, this is what counts. Piety is what counts. Not who are you. You like to be a leader
or a mechanic shop. You want to be a leader on a dump area. You want to be a leader in a kitchen. You want to be a leader in a house. For what? That's where the ego threatens.
So when it feels danger, what we call mahabda. So the second danger that the ego begins to fight you, first on rizq, then on akhtar. Akhtar means whatever mahabda, whatever it feels danger, threatened, she holds you. Not, and to make you against, aggressive against that through different ways of things that you hate doesn't let you to accept, so it makes you to hate everything. Third, it makes you not to be patient on difficulties and hardship. When comes a hardship, a test, or a difficulty, you don't surrender to Allah's will. You want to fight it. If someone says to you something, instead of swallowing it, and that confusion disappears, no, you want to bring it out. What's the benefit? If you bring it out to create a fitna, means you are participating in the fitna, you are worse than that one who said that. You are the one that you are carrying the dirt from one place to another. And your description is like, and that is لا حياء في الدين. There is no shy in religion. We have to say everything, or else that is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains everything in religion. How to make wudu, how to clean yourself, how to tahara, najasa, everything. There is no problem in that. An example of that person, man or woman, of carrying fitna from one place to another, carrying things that has been said here, giving it there to make a confusion, is like someone in a desert who has to go out to change wudu, go out, make new wudu and go, and another person comes after him one day or 2 days, wants to make wudu and he saw dirt there in the sand, so he moved them as if he moved them with the stick. When you move them, you get the wet side out and you can smell it. They are bringing that smell back to the nose of other people. That's danger. You are bringing fitna and confusion and making hearts dark instead of making hearts light. That is bad. That is very important. And it's coming in the meaning of Tafsir Surah Al-Fatiha. This is the third. Allah, Allah. والمصائب تنصب عليه من كل جانب. When all these difficulties come over him from every side, because the ego cannot take it, it has to fight it. So when the ego begins to fight it, more and more and more he is finding himself falling like that. Someone who is swimming and he doesn't know how to swim, he falls down. So he, the rescue coming to rescue him, and if that the one, the rescue doesn't know how to swim, you pull him down. Is that? So they begin to pull you down until you sink both of you. So what the ego lets you to do? Lets you to fall more into problems to make you drown and the other one drown with you. Make you completely finish. The fourth is when you find yourself, you are involved in the rizq, that you have to do more. You have to face the dangers. All difficulties come to you. Now you have nothing except to surrender to the shaitan, to the ego and your shaitan. Say, okay, I am following you. I am not following Rahman. So how to fight that? By hamdu wa thana. And alhamdu wa thana, by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa thana, thanking him on his ni'am, and what to do is bitawakkuli ala Allah. Means you come and say, oh Allah,
from beginning, you don't try to survive by in the water when you are drowning. You begin to what to do? Try to move your hands in an improper way. What happened? You see, but if you surrender, you float on top.
Surrender. With tawakkul.
What's tawakkul?
To rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't rely on your ego. You have to know that the ego is going to come against you from the beginning.
So, say, Ya Rabbi, I'm not going to ask more. My rizq is in your hand. I know.
وَبِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ.
Allah has already planned your rizq. It's not going to change anything. If it is written for you, you are going to get it. No way, no one can eat it. If that water is for me, I'm going to drink it. You cannot take it from me.
Even if it is here,
and you came here, and I am looking at it, you are looking at it, why I have to take it? Who Allah wants to take it, he is going to move first. That's another thing.
Cannot eat it, cannot drink it. So why fight for it?
If you make tawakkul, وَمَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. When someone makes tawakkul, rely on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not turn him down. He will give him. That's why he's written for me, that water for me.
Might be yes, written for someone else. I don't know yet. We'll see.
So first, to fight
the ego. When the ego fights you against rizq and tell you go to rizq,
say no. I am relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
When it comes, when you face the danger, and all this danger begin to come against you,
what you have to say what?
When the danger comes against you, you say, وَفَوَّضْتُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. What's that in English? I gave up my concern or whatever.
I refer my concern to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows best. Why I have to fight?
Allah, if He, Allah, wants me to win, He will make me to win.
So, I refer this to Allah. I don't fight more and bring everyone with me, dump them together in the dirt or in the ocean.
Then,
وَالصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الشَّدَائِدِ. And all these difficulties, when it comes from everywhere, what we call them, four of them before,
to be patient.
Someone scolds you, thank you, I deserve it. Someone shouts at you, thank you, I deserve it. Someone says something wrong to you, thank you, I deserve it. What do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do with that? When you are referring everything to Allah and saying, I am patient, I am وَوَفَوْلُ أَمْرِي اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ صِيرُهُ بِالْعِبَادِ. I give it to Allah. Allah knows best. وَالصَّبْرُ عَنَ الشَّدَائِدِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah will إِلَى صَبَرَ. Allah will those who are patient. If Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, Allah say in Allah, Allah verily confirming that He is with suffering, with patience. So if someone comes to you against you and say, don't go to the mosque, don't go to this, don't attend here, sit on that stairs, sit on the floor, sit on the couch, and
thank you.
No answer. Allah will support you. Allah will give blessings to you. Allah with you. Allah doesn't know that one has position or no position.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ.
Allah doesn't look at your pictures. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah looks at your heart. Allah doesn't say this one is a leader. Allah looks at his heart. If his heart is good, then he is passing. If he is a leader and his heart is not responsible, He says to you hundreds of times, don't do this. Doesn't mean anything. Piety means everything. Then, when you are patient on things that you didn't like, Allah will accept from you and first what are you bil-qadr, and to accept and satisfy yourself with what Allah has planned and destined for you.
That is the meaning of Alhamdulillah.
Means referring everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing to you.
When you reach that, then really you are reciting correctly
Alhamdulillah. That at that time, you are saying from deep of your heart, praise be to Allah. You are fighting your ego. You are fighting shaitan. You are carrying the are patient. You are accepting al-qadar wal-qadar. You are patient on difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you deserve at that time. By this way, at that time, your ego cannot anymore put its brighter on you. But you are at that time controlling the ego. You are at that time able to move as you like without the interference of nafs, dunya, hawa, shaitan, of the four enemies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has molded them with the physical body of a human being. At that time, what happened? He will find himself, فَإِذَا هُوَ غَرِيقٌ فِي بُحُورِ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ مِنْ إِمْدَادِ التَّوْفِيقِ وَالْعِصْمَةِ. At that time, he will find himself, that person or herself, drowned in the ocean of Allah's favors and in the support and protection that Allah will bless him and dress him with. At that time, he must be aware, open-eyed,
yaqiz,
awaken, alert, that if he will be heedless of thanking Allah on these favors, Allah will take everything back from him. So when Allah grants him, after he is patient and whatever we have described, if he forgets that it's coming from Allah, إِذَا غَفَلَ عَنِ الشُّكْرِ لِلَّهِ وَقَعَ فِي الْمَصَارِ. If he forgets that it is Allah's favor and not thanking, he will fall back. And that's why you have to keep reciting, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. That is thanking Allah on His favors on you. فخاف أن يكون منه إخفال للشكر فيقع في الكفران ويبحث عن تلك المرتبة الرفيعة التي هي مرتبة أقضية الخالصين. If he is heedless on thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be brought down and he will lose that level that already he has achieved. So by thanking, Allah will keep him in the, it will be like a provision as a food for him to keep him lifted up in the level of mukhlisin or khalisin. What is the obstacle that he has to do in order that keep that nourishment that raising him up? Here, alhamdu wa shukr. فَقَطَعَهَا بِتَكْفِيرِهِمَا. He can overcome this obstacle by continuously on his tongue, on his heart, on his, in his every cell of his body, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بِالْحَمْدُ وَالشُّكْرِ.
Saying, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, thank to Allah, praise to Allah, thank to Allah, praise to Allah, thank to Allah,
فإذا دخلنا جنتكم كلها ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. For everything you have to say, ما شاء الله, as we have said before we describe, ما شاء الله, سبحان الله, الحمد لله, الله أكبر. Always, inshallah, ما شاء الله. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had mentioned to us to say this continuously without stopping. If we don't say that, الحمد لله, شكرا لله, that's why from the Naqshbandi tariqah, order from through narrations of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we recite every day 100 times, other than before I said 500, alhamdulillah, we recite on top of that 100 times alhamdulillah, 100 times shukran lillah, 100 times subhanallah, 100 times mashallah, 100 times la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, 100 times Allahu akbar, in order to keep that thanking all the day running on our tongues, or else Allah take everything back from us. And that's why awliya, I'm not speaking Allah will take everything from your wealth. It might be from your wealth, but you have to know there are two kinds of wealth: the spiritual wealth and the physical wealth. And the most important is the spiritual wealth, where awliya are looking for. So if you don't keep your tongue always with thanking Allah and praising Allah, then that spiritual wealth will be taken away from you. You will never achieve. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Who is blind in dunya is blind in akhirah. Means you will never achieve spirituality. You will never achieve عِلْمُ الْيَقِينِ, عِلْمُ الْيَقِينِ, حَقُّ الْيَقِينِ الدُّنْيَا. But عِلْمُ الْيَقِينِ means the knowledge of certainty, عِلْمُ الْيَقِينِ vision of certainty or reality or truth, حَقُّ الْيَقِينِ reality of reality, truth of reality. You will never achieve these three levels, which what Sayyidina Umar, as an example to us, when he was seeing from Mecca to Medina to Damascus, when he said to his armies, Ya Sari Al Jabal, he was able to see his commander in chief calling him from Medina to Damascus 1,000 miles away. That's what we need of spiritual nourishment to the heart in order to keep that veil away, clear them away from our eyes, by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do that, فَنَتَعَنْ فِي طِيبِ هَذِهِ الْحَقَ بَقِيَّةِ الْعُمُرِ. If you keep that thanking on your tongue and praising Allah, you will be enjoying, and you will be favored, we will be favored, and in continuous enjoyment and ecstasy all your life with this spirituality. Never will be favored on you. It will be, that's why we say, Awliya Allah, Ala inna awliya Allahi, la khawfun alayhim, wa la hum yahzanun. There is no fear of them, there is nothing to fear. And always your heart will be waiting for the postage or what the mail to come to you, calling you to the divine presence, when you are always in thanking and praising, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our biggest example, that no one can reach that, but you learn from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his heart was always in hamd wa sana'illah, always thanking and praising Allah, Allah called him in the night of ascension in his presence.
Laylat al-Isra wal-Mi'raj.
فَاسْتَكْمَلَ الشَّوْقُ إِلَى الْمَلَأِ أَعْلَى إِلَى الْمَلَأِ أَعْلَى. He, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was always in shawq, love to reach the divine presence. فَإِذَا هُوَ بِرَسُولِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ يُبَشِّرُهُ بِالْرِضْوَانِ. And now Jibreel alayhi salam coming, telling Prophet, Allah is calling for you for the night of ascension, for Laylatul Isra wal-Mi'raj. That is to us
is a lesson,
that you want the satisfaction of Allah from you, you have to follow. This is hamd and sadaq by saying alhamdu lillah. And Allah said alhamdu lillah. Why did he say alhamdu li rabbil alameen? But he said alhamdu lillah rabbil alameen. Allah is al-ismul jami'u al-sifati wal-asma. Al-ismul jami'u al-asma wal-sifat. It is the name that is encompassing the attributes and the names.
Rabb al-alamin. Rabb is a name
from the attributes describing the rububiyyat al-haq. Allah is the name that undercomes the 99 days.
وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا.
Allah, فَلِلَّهِ, to Allah is the 99 names. Call upon Him. هُوَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَّا 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 عَلِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. And all the names come. So Allah is the first, is ismu zat, is the name of the essence that encompasses all the attributes and names. And that's why it came first. It came alhamdu first to lillah, to the essence
that no one knows.
Then it comes Rabbul Alameen, and inshallah next time we'll go into that, explaining what is the meaning of Rabbul Alameen. Hurmat al-Habib, Hurmat al-Fatiha.